Hello, Grey Wolves. It's Will Menaker here, and only Will Menaker. Matt and Felix are unavailable at the moment. They are in a shaming session right now. They're doing better, punishing themselves, learning from their mistakes. But I just decided to hop on the mic here to give you a brief intro to the audio from our live show in Philadelphia. As you are about to hear, it was extremely lit, and we're so glad that you, who didn't get a chance to come to the show, will have an opportunity to listen to the whole thing. Just a few quick notes. Shout out to Rob Wiseman and Virgil Texas, who make special guest appearances during the show. Rob comes on at the beginning as one of the dueling Alex Joneses, and you will hear Virgil make a comment from the audience at one point. I think the only other thing that you need to know in terms of listening to this is about two-thirds of the way through the show, Brian Quimby of Street Fight broke the stool he was sitting on, which was an awesome move for a fan of wrestling like his. But, yeah, I think that's about it. You are listening to the music from The Last Waltz in the background, but lucky for you, this is only our first or second waltz, and we have plenty of dances to go. So please enjoy this special treat, your subscription show for the week, Street Fight and Chapo, live in Philadelphia. Philly. My name is Will Menaker. I am one third of Chapo Trap House, and this is my first time in the city of Philadelphia. And I can tell you, with all sincerity, that my favorite sports teams are the Phillies, the Flyers, and best of all, Eagles, baby! Eagles! Number one! Number one! I wish Andy Reid was my father. That's all I gotta say. I did not say the Sixers, though, because the NBA is a hip-hop sports league. There is no lunch pail work ethic anymore in the NBA, so I don't fuck with that anymore. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. And thank you to Everybody Hits for allowing us to live out our dream of reenacting the very end of Martin Scorsese's Casino in front of a live audience. So let's get ready. Okay, I'm going to bring out our other host for the evening, starting with the co-host of Street Fight on WCRS, Brett Payne.
To start an egalitarian, horizontally organized laugh riot. Are you in? Yeah! I also came here to hunt reptiles. Are you in?
Yeah!
I'm all about reptiles.
Whichever one of you has been hunting me down, we will face each other in the alley tonight. I'm taking all reptiles down, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much. My co-host, Brian Quimby, has been a big part of what we do, so let's bring him out.
Here it is. Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. So I can't hear myself. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Yeah!
Thank you. I just came back from Cleveland last week and saw the Republicans And I went to Philly this week, where I'm at right now. And the thing that I've noticed about both, no fucking chemtrails. At all. And I can guarantee that is because the world leaders are all here. And that's also why I spent the first 2 days fucking throwing up.
Yeah, you got sick. You need those chemtrails to stay sane, I think. Yeah.
Chemtrail withdrawal is a bitch. Okay, next up. Another third of Chapo Trap House. The boy we all know and love. Felix Biederman.
Everybody. I may not be Felix Biederman, but this November, I want to go to the Chapo White House.
Okay, guys, and this is super special. Appearing for the first time with Chapo Trap House on our show is our spiritual godfather, Infowars.com, Prison Planet, Alex Jones, everybody! Alex Jones!
Look at all this blue stuff. Look at this blue. Oh my god, I can see lizard people here. They're Spanish people. Scum. I spent this week talking to you, scum, and I'm telling you right now, you don't know what it takes to make out of America. We're America. We got hot blood running through
our veins. Sir, do you have something to share?
Who the hell is this guy?
Alex Jones, Infowar.com. Do you honestly think you, you neoliberal scum, that you are the real Alex Jones? Let me tell you something. I do not appreciate you boys coming here to Philadelphia, the home of the country that I left, the birthplace, the cornerstone of democracy. And you boys, fucking it up with your irony, I'm swearing. I'm sorry for swearing. I am a good Presbyterian Christian man. You especially. You don't look like you belong here, boy. You absolutely do not with this patchy beard of yours. Absolutely.
You don't know how bad you look.
You do not, you neoliberal globalist scum. You have no, who are, I'm sorry, who are you? Yo, you, no. Let me tell you something about 1776, boy. The only cure for 1984 is 1776. And the only cure for 1776, it might be Prince's 1999. And the only thing that may cure that is Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. And let me tell you something, boy. The only thing that might even come close to holding the candle to that is Taylor Swift's 1989. But the only thing 1776 will commence again if you try to tell people you are Alex Jones, my friend. You neoliberal scum. You are not Alex Jones.
The real Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Wiseman.
Me.
There we go.
The real Alex
Jones. Love that boy. Love that boy.
Love that boy.
Love that boy.
Love that boy.
Fuck yes. 1776 here tonight.
Hamilton, New York City.
A little bit of house cleaning before we start the show in earnest. Management and ourselves have asked that if there's anyone here tonight dressed like the Joker, either the Heath Ledger or Jared Leto variety, I'm sorry, but you will have to leave.
It's too twisted for us. Also, I got to tell you guys, I'm sorry, but I did a cursory look from up above, and there's too many women in POC here. I'm going to need everyone to orderly file out. Don't make a big deal out of this, but come on.
If any women are on the men's end, we have a red tent in the back.
Guys, we are federally chartered as a punching down corporation, so we can lose our Series 7 funding. We're serious about this.
Love to punch down.
Are there any angel investors in the audience tonight? Because I'd like one.
Yeah, we need to disrupt the fuck out of the podcasting market, yo. Who's got that angel money, yo?
Me undies.
Well, like I said, we are Chapo Trap House and Street Fight.
We have been in Philadelphia all week for the Democratic National Convention, and we love Philadelphia now, and even more than Philadelphia, we love the generic Philly guy, which is going to be sort of a running theme.
Fucking A, yeah.
It's going to be sort of a running theme for tonight's
show.
We're
really into Philly, yo. It's a fucking awesome town. I don't know why Philly never got Olympics. Never got my ice water, though.
I arrived here on Monday. My co-host Felix was here the day before. He picked me up at the train station in our up-armored Range Rover, and things got frosty real quick. It was a little bit like my friend Office Jim when he arrived in a little city called Benghazi. I got off the plane, I put my wedding ring away because I'm here as a warrior, not as a husband.
You gotta leave that shit at home.
You gotta leave that shit at home.
You gotta just be warrior mindset the whole time.
To be an operator, you gotta operate. So Felix picked me up at the train station in our up-armored Range Rover, and like I said, things got frosty right away when we hit a Hillary Mann checkpoint. Just right out of the gate, it was manned by the Dow militia. They wanted us to get out of the car, but we told them that we had a harassment drone watching them right now, that if anything happened to us, their menchies would get blown the fuck up for the next 24 hours.
Fucking dumpster fire. It'll look like a fucking dumpster fire.
They made us roll the window down. They were going to get us out of the car, but I said, I'm ready to delete my account. Are you, motherfucker?
You know, speaking of Benghazi, as we all should every day, today, you might have noticed if you were in town that it rained like the Dickens. And I can't think it's a coincidence that that happened the day that Hillary Clinton got the Democratic Party nomination. Because what was happening, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Benghazi martyrs were crying in heaven.
Let's all say a prayer for the four battling bastards in Benghazi.
Well, the two.
The two.
Fuck those nerds.
Yeah, the other, we only care about the operators.
And the operators.
One was, I don't know, Sergeant Rambo, whatever. But the other one, my friend, I know him because he worked at my work. His name was Tyrone Smithers.
But like I said, we were here to cover the DNC. This is what everyone's in town for, and us. So I guess we'd like to take you.
Thanks.
Was that?
I love those protests.
We love to protest. We got any protesters in the house tonight?
Yeah. How many protesters showed up? No praxis at all.
We have taken down all your names and faces. You have made the situation dangerous and unacceptable.
Not a good look, guys.
Rethink this.
But like I said, Tuesday was our first, our full day when the op started. We arrived at the forward operating base. The Cafe Green Zone was giving us technical support. They were manning the drone. But when we went out into the city, into the shit, the first day, okay, like I said, this is my first time in Philadelphia, and when we went to the convention, I learned something about Philadelphia, which is that the city has quarantined all of their sports in one incredibly desolate stadium hell zone.
Like Corbusier wet dream.
We got mics. Is Matt's mic's working?
Good. Share will.
Share will. Oh, yeah. Fart. I don't know.
These guys are sharing a mic. They're married. They're going to kiss each other.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys were at the DNC, but my favorite feature immediately was the fact that they had set up sort of cages so that when all the delegates got on the train, they could be separated from the people protesting them. But there was this delegate walk of shame inside cages, which I thought was pretty good and telling for the event. What were some of the things?
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, these people are cucks. They crave humiliation and debasement, so they're like, yes, rain your scorn on me, Bernie Bros. Tell me I'm a piece of shit. It only makes me stronger.
I hear they were originally planning a recreation of the 123 underpass lined with homeless people that they could complain about.
So just outside the delegate cage and walk of shame, of course, there was the Occupy DNC encampment. We had some tents set up, seemingly manned by...
The system.
Yeah, we met a lot of great people down there the encampment. The it was mostly a primitive society.
The system.
Seemed like they let people follow them around and have a place to stay in a park.
It was basically like if Woodstock 94 never ended.
Yeah. I saw a guy walking around just in Izod boxers.
It kind of looked like Sabra and Shatil after a certain Hillary man got done with it.
But like when we were in Cleveland, the song that stuck with us, and if you listen to the show, you remember this, was the young lady who, by the way, I said on the show she was like 40, but I found out afterward that she's 16. And I'm like, God damn, that's a hard from 16. Russia. Those are some hard miles because holy shit.
Yeah.
She looked beat the hell. But anyway, the lady who said, you know, political correctness, which, by the way, she rhymed with fake perfectness, in case anyone was wondering. But so that was the song that kind of got in our head after we saw that. It's like that sort of symbolized the Trump people.
What was the name of the park? FDR?
FDR Park. So there was a guy there. He was in a dashiki. He had a classic early 90s, high top fade, like a Kid and Play style thing. Like 5 inches off his head and to the side, and he was rapping kind of freestyle with a dude like a shoeless sort of proto flea on bass, just like
he was thumping
on the bass.
He was thumping, man. I liked it.
And literally all he was rapping was the system, the system.
It's all about the system, system,
the system. It's the system, the system. And for me, like, that's a perfect mirror image. You know, it's like you got this like weird Russian beauty queen, like mail order bride going political correctness, and then you got this dude, this like this refugee from Arrested Development circa 1994 going the system, the system, it's fucking the system, man, the system.
Yeah. Next up at the Occupy DNC encampment was my personal favorite, the alpaca guy. Did anyone see this dude?
That
was
guy,
alpaca
rules.
Guy?
Hey, it's not a llama, it's not a llama,
it's
don't
not,
use those
is,
terms,
it's not a fucking llama. If you guys see him tomorrow getting out of town, do not compliment his llama. It's a fucking alpaca. And he's got a llama, so he knows the difference.
He was, like you said, you saw him, he had a llama on a leash walking it around this protest. And Brett, what was his deal?
He was a farmer. He said one day he was running his chicken coop nice and free, not causing any problems to anybody. Bang! Government shows up, busts him for not having a chicken coop. He says, fuck this, I'm building a tiny house full of llamas and alpacas, and I'm heading to the DNC.
I'm going to put the system on trial.
He's a permanent protester. He said he's just, as long as he can create disruption, he's going to do it with farm animals.
Political affiliation? Disruption.
Wow, Mark Andreessen needs to get hip to this guy. Disrupting agriculture for the 21st century.
A small llama house is how we will all be living probably the next 20 years.
He said he had 7 animals, right?
What did he say? It was a small, mobile, it was one of these tiny, trendy, tiny houses that people like that you can hitch to behind a trailer, but apparently his was filled with about 5 or 6 different farm animals.
500 square feet of space, 490 on animals. They're more precious than us.
Yeah, they're worth more than a human. By the way, if anyone wants to get me a beer, you'll be my slave in the afterlife.
Okay, after that...
I really want to get that. You guys can't do that. The Supreme Chocolate people. I'm a bigger fan than all y'all, so I get it.
After the alpaca guy, and he let you pet the alpaca as well, so...
He also had on board a 41,000-watt sound system that we didn't really get into. That would have been great for the show. It was good synergy.
Fuck, we should have invited him. If there's an alpaca here right now, goddamn.
We would have gotten Chris Hayes for sure.
Next up after Alpaca Guy, they rolled up in one of those kind of like Parks Department golf carts.
Polaris.
The
For people that know the model, it was the Polaris X600 with a lift kit on it, extra suspension.
Sorry.
Just for the gearheads out there.
Like how we are for trains, Street Fight is for recreational vehicles.
Dude, they have dirt bike cops in Philly, which I was so stoked about. I want to be a cop. I'll be a dirty cop, I promise, but it's going to be doing a wheelie the whole time.
It truly is a rich spectrum.
Emphasis on spectrum.
So like I said, they pulled up on this sort of Parks Department cart, courtesy of Occupy DNC. They had like a shipping pallet full of chocolate milk.
That was
the context of this is it was about 100 fucking degrees on Tuesday.
White people think spoiled chocolate milk too spicy.
Don't eat the brown milk, man.
Yeah, it was the least appealing thing in history. This guy's bellowing like a carnival barker, like, chocolate milk, everybody, we got all kinds of chocolate milk. And everyone just stared at him like he just brought like a dead squirrel.
That was probably from...
We don't want to eat the... We don't want to drink this chocolate milk, yo.
It was like a hack political cartoon. Like, he was Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and the fucking chocolate milk is like votes. And they're like, see, it's fine.
Was that?
When did Ernest go to Iraq? I missed that.
They
have all of them on VHS, but I'm the completest. I didn't know. Ernest
joins the army. That's the fucking movie.
Ernest was responsible
for the movie.
Ernest was actually responsible for the abuses at Abu Ghraib.
He didn't know. I stand by him.
So after the shirtless, shoeless neo-primitives and their chocolate milk at the DNC Occupy encampment, there was a guy who approached us and made an offer that we would all die at 2 o'clock today. So tell us about the die-in guy.
Oh, there was a fellow on the way when we were heading over to FDR Park, and he walks up, lights a cigarette immediately. He's got chicken wing legs, and he just sticks his belly out and says, folks, there's a die-in going on later. Spread the word. And let me tell you something. They can't do shit if you just pass out. It's not against the law to pass out. It's just the heat. You're laying down. Oh, no, I'm passed out. It's a die-in. He said they were doing a trial run at 2 p.m., and it was going to turn into the big thing at 4 p.m. just to make sure everyone was committed.
That's some sovereign citizen shit. Like if you pretend to be passed out, they can't do anything.
If
he's got fringes on the flag on his uniform, you don't have to listen to anything he says.
We'll run roughshod on their ass without moving a muscle.
I found the cheat codes for civilization.
Sir, I am lying down right now. You do not have the authority to wake me up.
You legally have to call an ambulance if somebody lays down on the ground. They can't move you until the ambulance comes.
Well, as we said, this was a tactic that we imagine was pioneered by a friend of the show, John Kasich, where if you pass out in a if you collapse in a hotel lobby, they have to give you water.
And they got to let you charge your phone.
And hopefully you get an IV. I'd love to get an IV out of the deal.
All right, I passed out in your lobby. I am entitled to 3 free shrimps from your buffet.
So after we were offered the exciting opportunity to die twice in one day, and what are they going to do?
Die for Bernie.
Someone offered to
die for Bernie.
They're like, now is the chance, Bernie or bust. Shed your stupid bodies and lives. Give your
soul. Come on, everybody. It's a white knight. It's not death. It's revolutionary suicide. Lie down for Bernie, everyone. Lie down for Bernie, brothers and sisters.
If you kill your Matrix body and wake
drink
up...
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's all right. It's like going to sleep. Die for Bernie. Revolutionary suicide.
By the way, this was BYOB tonight, and I just want to say the every third Natty Bo has a large dose of barbiturates, and you'll
be behind the next side. Bernie bro in heaven, y'all. It's okay. This world is tainted. This world is fallen.
We can't have democratic socialism in this life. We'll have it in the next. God damn it.
On the planet, on the comet Hale-Bopp, y'all. The guy about universal health care on the Hail Bob Comet, everybody.
Actually, I think it's probably a good idea to end the show tonight with a mass die-in, so please join us.
Solidarity, brothers.
If the mood strikes you.
Okay. Now, next up, there wasn't a whole lot going on there on Tuesday around, you know, noon. So we decided to go back into the city center where there was probably more things going on. But before we did, there was the first major Pokemon catch of the day. I'm here in Philly to cover the DNC and to catch motherfucking Pokemon. And the first major one, high combat potential, high CP, could definitely evolve this bitch into a fucking excellent Pokemon. None other than Vox.com's Matt Yglesias.
Burrito Pokemon!
Yo, is Matt Yglesias in the house tonight? Is he here? Fuck.
Show yourself, bitch.
Show yourself, Matt.
I tried to get...
It's okay. Sweatshops are okay, everybody.
I tried to get the Will Matt Yglesias picture, but he was fucking freaked out and terrified of Will.
The first thing that happened is I saw him first. We're in the SEPTA station. We're going down. He's coming up. I see him, and I literally just did this. Shape motherfucker is right in front of me. And then I turn to Will and Brian and Brett, and I'm like, man, that fucking, he's right here. And then the best thing though was what Will did after that.
So Matt made eyes like a cartoon character, like,
dude, Yglesias has some Medusa powers based upon what I saw he did to Matt.
We were starstruck for sure. He was passing us on a subway platform, so I said, I gotta holler. I gotta say what's up. So I just said, Yglesias, what's up? And he turned around like probably Reagan when he saw John Hinckley for the first time. But he looked fucking shook. And I was trying to be nice, but he wasn't expecting to get recognized. I don't know why. This is his fucking crowd. And I said, Yglesias,
slam your dicks so the DNC don't recognize you, then just give the fuck up.
I said, Yglesias, what's up, fam? And I dapped him up. I showed him some love. And I was like, you here for the DNC?
Best buds.
And it was like if a homeless person came up and showed you his dick. Like, that's what he looked like. He was like, okay, yeah, please don't hurt me. Yes, I'm having a good time. And you know what I found out that day? Well, I didn't find it out that day. I found it out today. Is that when we saw him on Tuesday, he had on these pastel fucking glass frames, you know, like to match his like Easter colored tie.
He was dipped. He was fitted.
Yeah, but then today he did a selfie on his feed because that motherfucker is counter-programming us with a Facebook Live chat today, right now.
Shut up.
Look, what he had on black frames, which means this motherfucker travels with multiple glass pairs with different things, and he fucking matches them to his outfit. That's who we're talking about when we're talking about Matt Yglesias.
What the fuck is wrong with Philly that he didn't leave with any of those broken?
Yeah, what the fuck, Philly? Do better.
Yo, Matt Yglesias. Matt Yglesias.
Rethink this, Philly.
Matt Yglesias, number one Giants fan. Boo, Eli Manning. Eli Manning, fucking globalist. Eli Manning is a motherfucker.
Oh, that motherfucker. Matt Yglesias, globalist. He's from that globalist hotspot of Manhattan, New York. You know who lives there? Globalists. You know, they love to go to the globalist delis and eat their globalist pastrami sandwiches. They get their globalist circumcisions. They go to globalist synagogue.
By the way, I honestly don't think that 6 million globalists were killed in a certain event.
Hey, man, I like it when a globalist...
All right. Did some globalists die? Yes. It was the war. But 6 million, come on. That's too many globalists. That's not realistic.
By the way,
Philadelphia, you guys have an excellent American Globalist Museum downtown right by the Independence Hall.
Yeah, we saw noted globalist Shmuley Botek there getting in.
I was going to go up to Shmuley and ask him how to fuck. I'm not sure. I was hoping he could help me, but he was being interviewed by like Mossad Review or something. and we were just able to take a picture with him.
Okay, next up, so we went from the delegate Iglesias shame zone to right in front of City Hall, where they were having a Bernier. It was like a joint Bernier bust and like Black Lives Matter, and I think some other groups were holding an event or protest there. And
yeah,
there,
it was
there,
inspiring. It was loud.
Next to major Pokemon level up, we saw the world's most woke chiropractor, Jill Stein. Yeah.
Universal health care should always include healing crystals for everyone. You should not be barred from healing crystals and pyramid power just because of your ability to pay.
And right after Jill Stein, I saw one of my favorite journalists, someone who throughout the coverage of this election is, I can't say I have agreed with her all the time, but she's someone who always offers her point of view in good faith, and I respect that. I'm talking about Amanda Marcotte, y'all. She was out. She was in the house.
She got some jack tats, yo.
Well, no, I think they're good. I mean, like, the double helix on her arm, that's like, yeah, you love science. Who the fuck doesn't?
Yeah, she got double helix on one hand on her, and a ray gun on the other. She's like walking, I fucking love science. She will die for science. She is a martyr for science.
From there we went back to the delegate shame zone, and we had an encounter with a guy who Matt and Brian had previously run into all the way back in Cleveland the other week at the Republican National Convention. You guys want to shout out this guy?
He's actually my favorite pundit. He is a guy that he screams.
He really wants Hillary to go to prison.
Yeah, he's not fond of her, and you know, he likes Alex Jones. He's an InfoWars guy.
When I saw him, the video you sent me, he was freestyling on that political correctness jam by saying, down with Obama, down with Obama, down with Obama, down with Obama.
He went viral the following week by screaming at some poor girl that was sent to interview him at the Trump rally. So
we saw this guy, and he was yelling at everybody about the mainstream media and how fucking... What I liked about him is he couldn't decide whether he wanted to curse or censor himself, so he kept saying things like, the mainstream media doesn't give a fuck about you. They think you're a mother effing joke, yo. But, you know, he was mad as hell. But my favorite thing, and shout out to Virgil Texas and Boring as Heck in the crowd tonight, had the fucking genius idea to ask this guy his opinion on Lady Ghostbusters.
Female Ghostbusters? Female Ghostbusters?
Spectrum individuals concerned with exactly two issues. One, Barker. Barker meaning network number two.
Let me tell you the story that he gave us.
It's a one man, y'all.
He said, it's bullshit.
There's a war on men going on, y'all. There's a war on men.
He also told us it's coming from Obama because he takes it in both ends.
So my other favorite thing about this guy is, you know, he was there for Trump. Brian, you made the great error of saying Trump was part of the New World Order, which is not true. Trump is not part of
it. He's not part of that. Trump's not part of that.
Fucking guy, he named everybody except for Trump.
Clinton, he had Clinton. Everybody, all of our favorite people that we hate.
Yeah.
But Trump is not just, Trump.
Trump is just a rich guy. Just because you're rich, it doesn't mean you're in the New World Order. He's against them.
Look, Trump's daughter may have converted to globalism. But
he's not a globalist.
He's not.
Not a globalist.
So this guy, he was going, I will take my chances with capitalism over socialism any day. And then someone was like, well, why? And he was like, well, no, like this capitalism now is rigged. You don't understand. Rich people have rigged capitalism so it only works for them.
We get rid of that, and then the capitalism without the capitalists. I don't know what that would look like.
That's my favorite thing about don't like libertarian guys because they're the same as Krav Maga guys. Capitalism is like a fight for them where they're like, all right, punch me. No, 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 no. 30 degrees to the right. Okay, I could get this right 18% of the time if we were on a 747 and you were holding an AR-15 and you pointed at me at a 45-degree angle. But no, it's a perfect system.
But so he's talking about why he prefers capitalism to socialism. And this kindly old lady who was out for Bernie
bro, actually.
You know, she was a Bernie.
A disgusting female Bernie.
She was
bro.
Just trying to get some of that socialist.
The worst
dick.
Kind.
She was like the kindliest looking.
Excuse me, young man. Are you talking about capitalism? Because there was someone that was very good about it. His name's FDR.
the world's kindest grandmother goes, excuse me, sir, but what about FDR? It's funny because we were in FDR Park. She goes, what about FDR? And without missing a beat, this guy goes, he got us involved in false wars.
He did the same stuff as 9/11. So just so y'all know, Pearl Harbor is like the hipster 9/11. If you're with a bunch of InfoWar motherfuckers and they're talking about building 7, you're like, yeah, but what about those cables from the Japanese that got deciphered 2 days before the attack? Check and mate. I will see your cred when you're amongst those dudes.
I will do you one better. I do not think that the Battle of Bull Run happened.
Oh, you think that the Patriots fired the first shot at Lexington and Concord? That's cool, you know, whatever makes you feel better.
Do you think the Eagles actually lost that Super Bowl? Wake up.
Hell no, bitch.
I think he was also really... He was also inviting false flags at the RNC.
Oh, God, okay, this is the best part. Flag.
So we didn't talk about this. We talked about it on the show, but it's still funny. So he was at the Alex Jones thing, and during Alex Jones' speech, when he's like, we're going to get the globalists and everything, and he brings out Eric Andre, and he's like, look at these Daily Show globalists, these CIA black ops trying to distract everybody with their, they're trying to be shocking to distract from the real issues. And the dude is in the audience, and he goes, come on, Obama, bring on your false flag! We're ready for it!
Start fiddling!
I don't want to get false flag, dude.
No, we were...
I don't want to be like in a fucking like Time Magazine article where they go, you know, the fall of Cleveland, and there's my fucking face, and I'm all sweaty and shit.
I'm just gonna do a little bit of professional networking right now. If there are any crisis actor agents in the audience tonight, please find
please.
Me after
I'd like to give you my headshot.
Literally.
I think I can do a great job. Oh my God, it was... He came in, and I just heard the loud pops. It sounded like a car backfiring, but then people were screaming.
Come on, that's great. Does anyone in here have weird legs?
Okay, so probably the biggest, I mean, it was a great day. We had a fucking blast. But probably the biggest disappointment for me personally was that all the merch, all the swag that I saw being sold was either, it was all pro-Bernie or it was all Hillary for prison.
It was bad. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good because...
Well, here's the thing. I wanted to come out tonight in a Yas Queen shirt. But there was not. I want to see one the whole
There's
week.
There's no Yas Queen shirts available.
Yeah. We saw
cash in our hands.
We saw like three women. Delegates that got lanyards on, and they got Hillary is a badass. But I am 100% certain that shit like was handed out at the convention because I didn't see anything like that.
I did. I handed them out the first day that I was here, and yeah,
I'm proud
of
them. In strong women.
I do.
I mean, disappointment because when I envisioned this event tonight, I wanted us all to be in matching Hillary t-shirts as she accepts her coronation as queen.
She's not bootleggable.
The Democratic Party.
You can't invest in a Hillary shirt. The thing about bootlegging t-shirts at a convention is that you got like a few $100, you can buy a box full of shirts and sell them for $10. But Hillary isn't a winning horse.
Like there must have been some Hillary merchandise to be had.
There's plenty of people who want to vote for Hillary. There's plenty of people who are gonna vote for Hillary. But nobody on earth wants to be the person who likes Hillary.
Well, there are five of them on stage.
Guilty as charged.
We're some Hillary men right up here. All with her.
So that was our view from the streets. But that was the view that the majority of people outside of Philadelphia got was on television. And we did get a chance to actually watch some of the convention coverage, which is going on right now. Okay, now here's the thing I learned this week. I was assured that this will get a big reaction from the home crowd. But the same venue that is currently hosting the Democratic National Convention also hosts another local event, another annual local event called Wing Bowl. Yes, you already know.
Yeah, man! Wing Bowl! There's no future! We're all gonna die!
Every
We live in the rotted carcass of a dead capitalism. Let's eat chicken wings till we puke.
Every Philadelphian father has a dream of their kid winning the Olympics, the fucking Wing Bowl, and the Super Bowl.
You know, I think if the Eagles just played in the Olympics, they win every fucking medal, yo.
Yeah. They play against them other countries like the fucking Redskins or Giants. Hell no.
All those other countries you show up for the Olympics, just try to play against the Eagles. Y'all gonna lose.
We love Philly so far.
Now, in researching the Wing Bowl, I found out that only 4 years ago, at the Wing Bowl, in the same venue that Hillary is addressing right now, I think, a woman named Molly Schuyler. Broke.
Who's related in the audience?
We got any Molly Schuyler fans in the audience tonight? Yeah. Fuck yes. Only four years ago, at the exact, probably on the same stage that Hillary is addressing right now, broke the first and most important glass ceiling ever by winning the Wing Bowl by consuming over 400 chicken wings in 26 minutes. Something. And I swear to God, this is something. This is something I'm skeptical of. I'm a Molly Schuyler truther because I don't think it's actually physically possible to eat that many fucking chicken wings.
Hey, you know what? I'm the father of a very young girl.
Heroes of Wing Bowl.
I'm a father of a young girl.
How dare you say that?
Heroes like Molly here. We need to know that girls can eat that many chicken wings too. It's outrageous. Fuck you, Will.
When the judge.
Typical Bernie, bro.
I don't believe in the possibility of womanhood.
I'm just trying to maintain our brand, guys.
Transition to globalist.
Well, I mean, wings are not kosher. I mean, globalist sanctioned.
Okay, so Molly Schuyler, Wing Bowl, way better than Democratic National Convention. Way, there's a lot of more.
And it's a Philly tradition, right?
It's a Philly tradition, and
it happens in 10 a.m. It happens in the morning.
And like I said, drunken people gorging in some sort of eating contest is more dignified than what we saw on television at the DNC.
Holy shit!
We each have our favorite speech that we watched. We missed a lot of them, so I think we should go down the line and each talk about our favorite speech that we saw on TV at the DNC. I'm going to begin by saying my favorite. I don't know if anyone saw this. I think it was on Tuesday night. Deborah Messing of Will and Grace. Deborah Messing of Will and Grace, courtesy of the New York delegation, addressed the DNC for probably 10 minutes about 9/11.
Yeah, but like, I mean, what got us through those dark days if not Will and Grace?
I guess, I don't know. I mean, I wonder what this looks like to the rest of the country.
Hey, everybody. That girl who show made everybody gay is on, talking about 9/11. I'm definitely ready for her now.
Just Deborah Messing wringing a few more drops of pathos out of a fucking tragedy at the DNC.
Another useful idiot for the liberal media.
Absolutely. All right, what speeches did you guys like?
I mean, I didn't even hear it. But what I loved was just the very idea of Mike Bloomberg speaking to the Democrats, like, oh shit, we're the Democratic Party. We got a lot of trouble here in 2016. I mean, we're running against this clown, ridiculous person, Donald Trump, but we're having a lot of trouble, appealing to working class people. This is an issue. How are we going to get around that? I know, we're going to get the 4-foot-tall billionaire asshole mayor of New York who hates soda pop and guns. And he's going to go up there and he's going to say, Hillary is the one that we should back. Oh, shit. Honey, I got to rethink this. I mean, you know how I drink like 3 liters of soda a day? I might have to start thinking about that.
Lingadungam
owes me sex.
All of us.
Everyone on this stage is out sexed by Lingadungam.
I did love Lena Dunham's speech, but there is a speech that was closer to my heart. Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, she got up there, she fucking killed it, and she did the thing that I love, that all of you love, the Democrat way of talking, where you talk like this. And this fucking Labrador Retriever got up there, and she goes, I don't want a world where girls are bought and sold. I want a world where girls are fearless and bold. And it was like, why the fuck do you talk like that? What the fuck happened to you? Did you fall off a fucking horse in Egan?
This definitely isn't a lizard in human skin. I need to vote for her party. Hello, humans. I think it would be both fleek and trill for you to vote for our party.
Yeah, 43% of voters are independent, and the only way you can appeal to them is if you talk like fucking Smithers is a screensaver, Mr. Burns.
Burn Brian, do you have any favorite speeches?
Tim Kaine. But only because...
A cane. Neely.
He does know Spanish. And also because of Patton Oswalt's wonderful description of him, that he looks like the guy from the AV Club that secretly smokes weed. And so,
you know, that character we all know and love, that we all encountered in our lives, the cool AV Club guy with weed. Everybody, whom amongst us has not enjoyed an AV Club guy with marijuana?
Cool AV guy is starting a gang.
I saw a homophobic lizard man when I originally saw Tim Kaine. So I was interested to see where Patton got his shit.
He looks like Tim Kaine, like I said on Twitter, if y'all follow me, which you should. Tim Kaine looks like a vice principal at a high school who got fired for stealing jock straps from the gym locker room.
If you guys were watching on TV and you saw sort of the wall they had around the stage, like, yes, we all think that wall is to protect the WOC speakers from being bazooka cannoned by the Bernie delegates, but no, it's actually to keep out crazy young women who just cannot resist Tim Kaine's powerful sexual energy.
Tim Kaine looks like a Cylon to me. Like, they bathed him in some sort of gel and then he was born and sent to do his
instruction. I mean, of all the politicians who couldn't pass a Voight-Kampff test, he's right at the top of the list.
Well, hold on a second. Speaking of powerful sexual energy, Bill Clinton, his speech.
Woo! His speech was all about how horny he was for
that,
fucking
Hillary.
Silver Fox.
That's what he opened with, which I thought was a bold move, was sexualizing Hillary Clinton for the entire world, which is like a legendary cocksman like Bill Clinton. If he can say to America that he desired her and he wanted her to be his, then she will be all of ours.
Well, but like he anticipates the fact, like, a big thing on Twitter amongst the Hillary people is like to post a picture of young Hillary and be like, damn.
Yeah, I did
that. Like, that's supposed to like sway your vote. It's like, no, dude, she was totally fuckable 40 years ago. That, you gotta have her in the White House.
When I'm done with myself and I'm cleaning up my stomach and belly button,
Wait. Are you admitting right now on stage that you disperse your manly
assets? No, I was doing a character.
He got busted!
No, no,
he
no,
got
no.
busted!
I haven't, I, Kyle. I haven't come since 2009. No. I was doing a character. My life as this beer. You guys can test me right now.
So
he's trying to delete it.
We missed Obama and Biden. And I'm fucking so disappointed we're missing Hillary right now. But I thought
that's a bummer.
I thought the DNC probably. I think they missed a beat because they could have had another great celebrity address the DNC, and I'm talking about President Jeb Bartlett, the one.
The best American president.
And, I think it might have sounded a little something like this.
Doo doo doo. Good evening, my fellow Americans, and Donald Trump, you feckless bastard. Have you ever opened up a book? Probably not. But if you start, I have two to recommend to you. One is the Constitution. I doubt that you'll find anything in there about big walls or Muslim lists. But you might find something about bridges, which we build ourselves up upon.
Yes.
Second of all, sir, have you read the Quran ever? If you opened up the Holy Quran, you would find that they say that it is a sin to kill. And then no terrorist is a true Muslim. But you wouldn't open a book. You wouldn't even take a chance of learning something, Mr. Trump. I would drop the mic right now. Where actually wrenching is.
By the way, Felix is the product of the Aaron Sorkin screenwriting masterclass.
Yes.
It's worth every fucking penny.
I am the product of both the Aaron Sorkin screenwriting class and mercury in certain vaccines.
Okay, so that was basically our experience with the conventions and with all this political shit. But that is really a supporting actor. It's a supporting actor to who is the real star of our trip this week. And I'm referring to the city of Philadelphia.
Fucking ain't right,
hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Fucking Philadelphia, yo. It's a hell of a town, yo.
It's fucking epic win Scrapple in this place.
Yeah, man, you get all the Scrapple you want here in Philadelphia, yo.
Yeah, it is a city that has made a very distinct charm out of urban blight and dysfunction.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the most vibrant garbage pile I've ever been on. It's like, because I'm from the Midwest, and there's tons of garbage piles. I currently live in one in Cincinnati, Ohio. And, like, Detroit, Cleveland, all garbage piles. But they have that feeling of, like, defeat and just depression.
They built a city out of garbage.
Totally,
it's wonderful.
Permuting every moment of them. But Philly is just as much of a pile of shit. But, God damn it, y'all are proud of it. Y'all live it every day. Y'all like, yeah, we're Philly. Philly, we live in garbage. You got a problem with that, motherfucker?
Okay, now, any fans of the Philadelphia Police Department here tonight?
Boo!
Okay, good, now that we got that out of the way. Now that we got that out of the way, Brian, why don't you share your...
Why do all the cops look like they're about to get killed in a fucking action movie? Yeah.
But the funny thing is he said that, and literally 5 minutes before eating lunch by City Hall, and I'm watching these two cops like in the blue shirts, just like swamp, like walking out, and I'm thinking, a guy's gonna come up and just shoot both of these people.
Yeah, the two cops are talking to each other.
He said that, and I'm like, dude, you're reading my fucking mind.
The cops here, like they're practically opening a locket with a picture of their daughter. Like,
I got three days to retirement.
One thing I fucking love about the cops here is that they have the shittiest tattoos I have seen in history. Like, we're
fighting Irish.
A Philadelphia cop, like, the moment that they get sworn in, they go into a tattoo parlor and they're like, can I get a fucking sword with a gun on it? Yeah, can I get a fucking heart that's on fire?
They even got that, like, pinned down hat. Like, it's like a hang down fucking thing. Like,
can I get the Twin Towers only their dicks?
Can I get the word vendetta dripping with blood?
Like I said, the cops in Philly look like extras in action movies, and they look like they're about to pull. Yo, I'm pulling up in Nakatomi Plaza, yo, to get a hoagie, and it looks like they're throwing fucking fireworks.
Oh shit, man, they're turning my car to Swiss cheese, which I'll never put on a fucking Philadelphia cheesesteak, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, John Kerry is a trick.
I ain't no joke.
Broke the fucking chair.
It's lit! It's lit, everybody! It's lit! Someone cut me a beer in the chaos. I need another beer in the chaos. Who got one for me?
As a pro wrestling fan, I am not doing a show without breaking a fucking chair. Okay?
Seriously, throw me a beer.
It's gone.
I fucking smashed that fucking chair. Like I'm going to smash the steak, you sons of bitches.
We're all standing now. We're all standing now in solidarity with Brian.
But, we're going to ride like, we're going to ride on the same chair. I think we can share one.
Riding through this world. All alone.
The other trip we made this week was to the RNC is hosting something. They're like behind enemy lines in Philly, but they're hosting it at the ECW arena. We went there for about half a second. It looked like the set from the movie Judgment Night. That was the neighborhood that they were in.
Well, you know what, though? They had a Bud Light Garita bar. They had all my favorites, mango,
yeah, you're right.
Lime.
They had a Bud Light Margarita bar at the RNC event.
So that
you know, Benny Johnson was going fucking ham on that motherfucker.
So
he's eating fucking candy corn out of his pocket and just fucking housing those margaritas from Bud Light.
Now, I think they chose the ECW arena for a good reason, aside from its utter desolation. But it is in, I think, sort of the strip club warehouse district of Philadelphia.
I believe it's called the human misery section.
All right,
of Philadelphia.
So we, you know, a little callback. Amy Klobuchar's speech during the Democratic National Convention was about human trafficking, right? Yeah. But they're talking about it in other countries. They're not talking about where it really happens.
It's happening at Club Risque, folks.
Hold on a minute. I want to know before we go into this, who's been to Club Risque? Show of hands. All right,
hell
there we go.
Yes.
There we go. We got a couple. That face there makes me think that it might be like a hepatitis-rich environment, maybe. Okay.
There was Club Risque and Show and Tell. Show and Tell, but tell one L.
What the fuck, people?
Because if you have it with two L's, you can't get a bank.
By the way, I got one thing to say. Show and tell with one L is one thing. But driving around on the highways around Philadelphia, I got one thing to you people. I want you to take this to heart. Reduce your fucking fractions.
Yeah, no, that's...
What
that's,
the fuck?
Please.
The next exit is 4/10 of a mile away? What is that shit?
That's like...
2/5. How hard is that?
That's the only fucking academic part of the Philadelphia environment.
Yeah, if you can't figure out what fucking 5/19 of a mile is, you're fucking retarded. You got no business driving.
Look, this city's only for real people, y'all. People who understand what 4/10 means.
Yeah, we love it so far. We're staying in South Philly, Point Breeze, with Baltimore Matt, if you know him on Twitter. He gave us the real Philly experience, though. Nobody's wearing clean clothes around there.
Yeah, man, I felt right at home because, like, I never wear anything that I haven't been wearing for at least 2 days, either on the top or on the bottom. And so walking around Philadelphia and seeing, like, everybody as on laundry day, I just felt a sense of comfort and solidarity there. So God bless y'all. God bless
you. We love this place.
We love Philly, but inspired by Amy Klobuchar's speech last night about sex traffic in the United States, I looked into it, and I found out that at Club Risque and Show and Tell, 80% of the dancers there are human trafficked, but they're human trafficked from just the other side of Philadelphia. And if you had a better transit system, we could save some of these girls.
Yeah, man, so let's
raise awareness.
It's fucked up. My sister working at Geno's. She's just putting out this cheesesteaks, and then one next day she's gone.
Have you got any tokens?
I find out online she's a Club Risque. That's fucked up, yo.
Okay, so
I can't wait for Billy taken.
Yeah, you're gonna give me my fucking daughter back. You're gonna do that shit.
You know, I got her a particular set of skills, yo.
I'm certified in HVAC, plumbing, all that shit.
So there's the weird fractions on the highways, the strip club district, the cops. Finally, I think the gemstone on this crown for me was that we ended up in a Home Depot parking lot, and there was a fucking cheesesteak place.
They sell it
to the Home Depot.
Home Depot! Y'all selling cheesesteaks at Home Depot! Y'all off the hook! What's like, you're talking to some guy, it's like, dude, I was driving by and I saw they're fucking selling cheesesteaks at El Depot. And he goes, dude, they do a good cheesesteak there. What are you talking about?
It's a Rocco's. It's a Rocco's original cheesesteak.
Yeah, I can't argue with
Shout out to Rocco.
I can't argue with the cheesesteak they're putting out at the Home Depot.
Okay, so City of Philadelphia, we fucking loved it. And we were inspired by it.
It was great.
It's really
we want to make it our hometown.
We've really been talking about it. And like, if we were going to like relocate like in one big sort of communal living environment, it would be Philly, because you get the, you know, you get the density and activity of the East Coast, but like none of the pretension of the
hands off. It's a hands off society.
New York got their New York has their superiority complex, and then like cities like Boston and DC.
Fuck New York.
Okay.
Boston, DC.
No,
shit.
No. No. No.
Fuck New York.
Fuck New York.
Fuck New York.
Fuck New York.
Fuck New York. But Philly. Philly is dirty and proud of it.
All of this is violence right now. Yeah, you may say that. You may say, fuck New York. I got news for you. It poured fucking rain today in Philadelphia, which would never happen in a world-class city like New York. It would never fucking happen.
Yeah, whatever. Taylor. Woody Allen Jr.
Woody Allen's a globalist, by the way. So like I said, we've had such a good time in Philadelphia, and we loved it so much that we were inspired to adapt something from the show. Do we have any fans of the Chapo reading series here?
I am. Me.
I'm going to take a seat.
Me too.
Okay, so we're going to do a hybrid version of the Chapo reading series. That's it brings together a couple of things. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to read. I'm going to introduce things that are from the actual Nixon White House tapes. In a little bit that we call Ice Watergate. With Nixon's cabinet of all Philly guys. Okay, ready. April 6, 1971, Nixon, impatient with the slow pace of peace talks to end the Vietnam War, wanted his national security advisor, Henry Kissinger, about escalating attacks on North Vietnamese targets, irrespective of the response from U.S. anti-war activists.
Yo, Kissinger, get your fucking G-ass in here right now.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. All these fucking college kids are giving me a bunch of bullshit about this, yo.
Well, yeah, they like to look down their nose at people, but they ain't never lived a real day in their life. Well, yeah, we have to step this fucking war up.
Yo, I'm hearing you, yo, but these fucking kids are all giving me a bunch of bullshit about it.
Yeah, okay, see, I'm gonna call my cousin the National Guard. They're gonna go down to Kent State, and then we're gonna fucking light Cambodia up.
Cambodia's dick to fuck, man, yo.
Yeah, he's fucked.
Fucking Lon Nol was supposed to do our shit, and he fucking fucked it all up, yo.
I don't even trust none of them countries. I don't trust China. You know we opened that shit up.
April 15th, 1971. Nixon was preoccupied with the aura surrounding John F. Kennedy, who had defeated him in the 1960 presidential election. From time to time, he spoke about JFK with both admiration and disgust, as in this exchange with Kissinger and Chief of Staff Bob Alderman.
Yo, no homo, but JFK was a good-looking guy. Yeah, at the same time, my man's head's got fucking painted on his Cadillac.
I mean, yeah, I agree to you. He's a good-looking guy, but no homo. No homo.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got a silver spoon right up his ass, yo.
Hell yeah, yeah, yeah. He's one of them people. He's one of them people who think, like, he fucking thinks something about himself because he didn't have any fucking plastic covering on his sofa. He think he become president because of that shit? I'm glad he dead.
April 28th, 1971. During a discussion with Alderman and Kissinger about an annual youth conference, the subject turned to homosexuality in society.
Yo, I can't even talk to somebody from San Francisco because they're gay as hell. I went to Bohemian Grove and they're straight up fucking each other.
They learn it from their parents, yo. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's fucked up there because you look at every civilization, Pittsburgh, fucking Camden, Newark, Jersey City.
Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah. Cowboys especially. They all... Yeah, all of them went to shit because they was gay.
The subject soon turned to swearing in public.
I don't think it's attractive when bitches fucking swearing in public, eh?
I mean, yeah, it's just good manners, yo.
Yeah, I can't take that shit home to my auntie.
July 6, 1971. Within the administration, Henry Kissinger was Nixon's most valuable strategic partner, but the president sometimes criticized him in private.
Alderman, I need to list the G's right fucking now. I need to list every fucking G in the State Department.
Oh, what? You guys want to talk to Philly Alex Jones? Listen right here, yo. The fucking globalists are all up in our shit, yo. We got to fight against the globalists because it's all about 1776, yo. The fucking globalists are all up in our asses.
In a separate conversation with Alderman and John Ehrlichman, the president noted... Oh, no, okay, this is after the plumbers arrested on June 17, 1972 in connection with the break-in at the Democratic National Committee headquarters at the Watergate Hotel. Mr. Nixon and his aide...
Watergate.
Yeah, Watergate. Jesus.
Hey, do you guys know who that dude is from those commercials for the sealant that you put... Do anyone know what I'm talking about? There's like this national commercial with this guy, and he's got this miracle sealant, like you can build a fucking boat out of it. And he's like, it keeps the water out. And I want to know if anybody knows who this dude is and if he's from around here, because I don't know why the fuck he sounds like that otherwise.
I want a Rita's right now. I'm ready for an ice water. It's too hot.
Right, but like South Jersey, though, right? He's got to be from South Jersey. He's talking about water. Oh, shit. We're going to have a fucking Jersey race war in here. God. Shit. Just to let everybody know that Chapo does not endorse any of the states of the Northeast against any of the other ones in the ongoing wars between all of them. They're all good. They're all
recognize
in
New England.
Eyes. Please don't stab each other tonight.
Back to Watergate.
Watergate.
Mr. Nixon and his aides began immediately to cover up their ties to the burglars.
All right, yeah. I told them, you say you're plumbers, but if the union guy asks for your card, you don't fucking know me.
You can't.
Extreme not certified.
The president's chief domestic advisor, John D. Ehrlichman, warned him that, quote, disloyal guys, federal investigators at the Justice Department and FBI, are going to second guess any story you come up with.
Dude, we got some trifling bitches in the government, yo.
What the fuck you mean?
I'm just saying that we got to fucking mow the grass so we can see the snakes.
Yeah.
On November 1st, 1972, as Election Day approached, Mr. Nixon knew he would win by a landslide. He was confident he could fend off the scandal. People would never believe that he was part of Watergate. The break-in was, quote, so dumb that trying it to us is an insult to our intelligence.
Yo, I purposely fucked that shit up so they think I wouldn't do it. That's called being smart, bitch.
Ice Watergate, everybody. Scene. Okay, so we're almost done here. We're almost gonna have our die-in. Are there any questions? Q&A from the audience?
From the bros.
Are there any globalists want to come up?
From the brocialists.
Any Bernie bros or globalists to the front of the line.
Have my mic. Here we go.
All right, one comment and one request.
Somebody get the Trank gun.
You went through an entire thing without saying the word John once, so I'm personally offended. And also, can we turn that into a giant baseball crankhead, please?
Yes. You know what? It's like Arthur Pendragon is going to be the one who has the power within himself to put the fucking baseball crank up on there.
We must consult the management of Everyone Hits before we deface any of their property. but we will look into it.
Who we got?
All it takes is a Sharpie, though.
That is true. Next question. This is from our incredibly gracious host, Baltimore Matt. Give him a hand, everybody. Shout out to Baltimore Matt and Carly for putting us up this week.
Yeah, Nick.
Oh, and another, again, before we end, another huge shout out to Nick and Janine, Ellipses Art Gallery. Hell yes.
They're the shit.
Buy something.
Yeah.
They have a lot of great art. They put us up for the week.
Yeah, they were like,
spend that money.
We've had the best hosts here. So again, huge, sincere shout out to them. Here, Matt.
Hey, long time caller, first time listener.
Of course.
The Prophet Muhammad, long may his name reign.
Peace be upon him.
What would he think of the Baldwin casting choice in the movie Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. If you read the hadith, you will know that the portrayal of any Baldwin in any kind of artistic representation is haram. So he would not approve of it.
Yes, but the actor who played Fred Flintstone was the British actor Mark Addy, who we all know more prominently as motherfucking Robert Baratheon from a little show you might have heard of called A Game of Thrones, which also explains all of American politics in the 21st century. So I believe that Muhammad would appreciate that because it just shows you how much win there is in politics.
Are you holy?
Who's up? I got one for you.
I'm so excited.
There you go.
I oh well, that's what my voice
check one,
like.
Check two, sibilance.
I would really like to know when the Metal Gear Solid podcast is going to like come into fruition.
All right,
fuck that nerd shit, yo.
Man, fuck you.
I don't play those.
Where's the Solid
video
Snake
games?
People at?
All right, well, let me
start up by saying you sir.
Bad you look. But no, I mean, none of my co-hosts give a shit about Metal Gear Solid, unfortunately.
Fuck you.
I have seven podcasts.
Yeah, he
I'll
has seven podcasts.
To be honest, the first payday advance loan I got when I turned 18 and I knew my signature was worth money was to get Metal Gear Solid 2. It came out.
You heard it here first. Street Fight, I'm going to go on Street Fight to talk about Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, we need. Nobody talks about Raiden enough.
Yeah. Raiden had totally smooth genitals. And that sort of sums up the zeitgeist of the 2010s.
Another question? Step forward, sir.
Too bad Jordan K couldn't make it.
I'll be honest, I'm sorry. I've been counter-programming, just multitasking over here. But I want to ask, if you were accepting your nomination tonight, what musical would you use to close out your nomination?
That's a great question.
Bastard, orphan, son of a whore.
I don't know what music I would choose, but...
I'm My Fair Lady.
A musical.
As in, like, as opposed to Hamilton. Unless you're going to say Hamilton, which you could if you want to.
Probably The Music Man. I don't know. But I'm going to use this as a segue to shout out Boring as Heck again, because he made the observation that would have passed by me, that on the 9/11 night, when Deborah Messing, and then she introduced a firefighter, the music that they were playing to introduce the firefighter was Live and Let Die.
I would probably go with something with nudity. Hair or Oh Calcutta, something to shake people up.
I'm going with Les Miserables, because that's the best fucking musical ever.
Can I pick South Park? That's a musical movie, right? That's mine.
I'm My Fair Lady all the way. From head to toe, all the way.
Okay, two more questions before we die. You, sir.
Hey, what's up, dudes? How's it going? I was just asking, the DNC was, one of the Dune books. Which one of them Dune books do you think is the... Which Dune characters is most likely to be compared to the candidates? And, I'm trying to make sure, you found out about that before you left here tonight.
He sounds like the guy that said tried to sell us cocaine at the metro station.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got yeah.
Not buying any was our first big mistake this week. But yeah, we
sounds like we've gotten rid of this podcast shit. Just completely ran it. Scarface shit.
Let's say DNC Dune. Well, okay, Hillary, obviously, the Reverend Mother of Gaius, Helen Mohim, definitely. Tim Kaine, probably one of the level 5 guild navigators. Roger Ailes, the Baron Vladimir Harkonnen. And I like to think of myself as Peter DeVries.
And I just need to, I need to stress for every woman in the audience, I don't read that nerd bullshit.
Okay, last question before we die. Last question.
Yeah, get it in.
I just wanted to say that not talking about drones is an act of erasure. And I wanted to know how racism inspires you every day.
Every day I wake up and I go, all right, how can I get more racist by the day?
I'll tell you what I say when I look in the mirror in the morning. A day without erasing POC is like a day without sunshine.
As someone who holds the honorary Charles Murray Chair at Hillsdale College, I would like to say racism does not inform me whatsoever. Science informs me.
There's a lot. If you get into it, there's a lot in science about that.
Thank you for closing with that question, because there's basically no fucking way to answer it. Okay, one more time. I am Will Menaker. We are Chapo Trap House.
Street Fight Radio, still the number one anarcho-comedy radio on any station across the nation. As you know it.
So, one more time. Shout out again to you guys, to everybody Hits, to the city of Philadelphia, to Brett Payne, who I think really was the motor behind this event. He really stayed on top of all of us.
The prime mover.
We'll take it on the road, but it won't be better than y'all.
We want to do more of these. So again, thanks to all you guys for coming out. My name is Will Menaker, and I'm now dead, and you can't do anything about it.
I'm passing out. Don't touch me.
Come on, y'all. If you're dead, they can't do nothing. They can't even charge your rent. They cannot do shit to you right now.
Look, we've been together 16 years.
Who?
Who?
Yes.
The band.
Uh-huh.
Do you want me to plug that in there?
Yeah, let's do it again.
The band has been together 16 years, together on the road. We did 8 years in bars, dives, dance halls, 8 years of concerts and stadiums, arenas. We gave our final concert, the band's final concert. We called it The Last Waltz.
Well, why was the hell in San Francisco and Winterland when you guys have been on the road for 16 years, you know?
Well, Winterland was the first place that the band played as the band. Some friends showed up and helped us take it home.
Well, they weren't just friends. I mean, I know more than that.
Did you ask me that? Ask me that again.
I mean, they weren't just friends. I mean, tell them they weren't just friends who came in to say hello. You know what I mean? Get that fly.
No, they were more than just friends. I feel they're probably some of the greatest influences on music, on a whole generation. We wanted it to be more than just a concert. We wanted it to be a celebration.
A celebration of a beginning or an end?
Beginning of the end of the beginning.
That's right.